Oh, I am black and I'm back. Back at it again. And this time I have a very special installment. This is something that I had recorded a whole while ago. And I wasn't that confident in what I had recorded and what I had done. And the actual conversation itself, I was just very precious over sharing it at all, let alone having this insecurity about, is this even good? Like, who wants to listen to this, right? But yeah, I mean, why not? You know, if I felt the need to create it, I might as well follow through and post it. But this installment, I will be talking to my mother. I will be interviewing her. And yeah, we talk about a lot. We do. We talk about a lot. This is my Mother's Day special of sorts, if you will. For some reason, it finally feels right to put it out. So if you're listening, hope you enjoy. Have a great Mother's Day. Love on the amazing parental figures that you have, or whatever meaningful elder figure that you have in your life, if any, and let them know how amazing they are, how much they mean to you. And that's all I got to say. Here is the interview. God bless it. It might be awkward, but you know what? I don't know what. That's it. So sorry. So in the spirit of the show, I wanted to kick it off with me being open and vulnerable with you guys. So you guys can get to know me. You guys can get to know me, where I come from, quite literally. And I want to talk to the person that I know who has definitely more game than I do. And that is my mother. Yes. I love that woman. She has agreed for me to interview her. She does not know for what. She didn't ask any questions either. She just wants to talk. And as you can see, I get it honestly. So we're going to be talking to her, because here's the thing. I have always wanted to have that connection. I have a sister, right? I have a sister. She is 6 years older than me, and she and my mother have a very close bond. They've been able to bond and talk about boys her entire life. They've been able to have that kind of dynamic. And I've always felt a little jealous. I have. And my mom knows this. We've talked about it at length. And when we last spoke about it, I was telling my mom, hey, like, I'm always talking to you about your love life, and I'm always asking you questions, but you never really asked me anything about myself. I was going through the heartbreak that I'm going through now, right? And I was at my wit's end because I felt like I had nobody. I felt like I had nobody and nothing. And mind you, I do have friends, and we all lead very busy lives filled with work and more work. Adulting is adulting, right? There's only so much and only so many times that I can cry to my best friend, Chris, about, this nigga done broke my heart. And it's, I don't want to overwhelm him. And he's heard the same story about 5 times already. I need nurturing. I need familial support. So I was telling my mom, you know, I went through this thing and you haven't really asked me any questions. You know, she gives me the space to really tell her what I want to tell her. But sometimes I'm not always the most forthcoming because I feel like, again, my black ass family doesn't want to hear about this gay ass shit. So I try to tread lightly in that way because I'm not sure how much they want to know. We have never had a very open-minded communication about that. And I don't want to offend. I don't want to disrespect. It's a whole thing. And sometimes, again, it can feel very isolating and as if they don't care. And I know they do care, but this is a big part of my life to not be able to share that with them in the same ease as maybe my sister can. I want it. And when I was telling my mom this, she said, you know, I want to give you space to tell me what you want to tell me. And I told her just that, like, hey, I don't know what you guys are comfortable with. So I never know what to say. I never know what to share. But you can always ask me questions because I'm an open book. Then she told me, oh, well, you're just so private. And I was like, I'm going to have to call you out on that one. I'm going to have to call you out on that one, ma'am, because I feel like that's a cop-out. You know me as private because I spend so much time in the closet. I'm out now. So sometimes I feel like they use that way of thinking of, oh, Calvin is so private, as a way to get out of having to ask questions that would procure answers that are a little uncomfortable for them to hear. So we're at a bit of an impasse where I don't know what to share and she doesn't know what to ask. So I decided to sit down and just have like an open conversation about love and dating and see if she can give me any tips on moving on after getting my heart broken. Cause this one was a doozy. It was without exaggeration, the worst heartbreak of my life. So I decided to spread the pain around. All right, we're gonna get through this one way or another. I refuse. We're gonna get through this. So if it's through creating a questionable podcast series, that's what we're gonna do. As if we needed another one. We don't. But here we are. Okay, let's call my mom. Hello?
Hey.
Hey, what you up to?
Nothing. Sitting here on the porch, out of my mind.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm watching ID. It was too messy.
You're watching ID?
ID.
And what was messy?
There's too much going on. I'm trying to keep up with it, because I ain't been looking at it.
But what are you doing?
Nothing. I was calling to see if you wanted to do the interview now.
Yeah, what I got to do.
I love how you just said yes, and you asked zero questions.
I know. Yeah.
I said, do you want to do an interview? You said, when? Tonight?
What is it?
Well, see, here's the thing. Feel free to say no. I wanted to interview you about, like, love and relationships and stuff.
Oh, my God. I have no love. Okay, what kind of questions you ask me?
I don't know. I just want to talk to you. I have some stuff written down that I'm thinking about, but I don't know. I just wanted to talk to you.
Ain't nobody going to see it, Audrey.
What do you mean nobody's going to see it?
Going to hear it.
I'm going to be posting it.
Okay, what if I don't have good answers?
Well, I know how to edit things, but okay. I'm sure you'll have good answers. You're
not bad, but I'll do it.
Okay, so you're okay with me asking you these questions and posting it online, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we can start now if you're ready.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I have something to tell you.
Okay, tell me.
It's very serious. I'm gay.
Why are you doing like that? Why? You made my eyes beat up.
I'm gay. I don't. I just didn't know how to tell you.
I thought you were gonna do some kind of plan.
No. Oh, God. What would you think I would have done?
I don't know.
I don't even leave the house.
I know. Oh, I look at too much ID. Okay.
And that's what it is. I told you it's bad for you. But I had that realization the other day. You know, I never really said those words to you when I came out, like quote unquote came out. I never did say that. I told you I was bi.
Yeah. That's what you told me.
Yeah. You know, that's a thing though. That's like they call it the bi now gay later program.
What is it?
Where like people are like they when they do come out they're like afraid to do so, like to go all out, so they say bye just so like they don't offend too much. And that's kind of like the same headspace I was in.
Crazy, because that's the same thing. I mean,
well, no, it's not the same thing though,
but it is people out there. I mean, so
yeah it's a part that it's we're all a part of a, you know, a large community. I guess
people are bad. 80% of.
You say 80% of people are bi?
Mm-hmm.
Of all people?
Yeah.
Do you remember that day?
Yeah, like yesterday.
Okay, so I tell a version of it. I want to know what you remember from it.
Well, the Golden Girls was on.
Well, of course it was.
And you said, Mama, I want to talk about that. I don't even remember, but I remember that you told me you're bi, you think you're bi, and you've been wanting to change the whole time, and that's all I remember.
Okay, can I tell you what I remember?
Yeah.
Okay, so I waited until you went to the bathroom because I wanted to tell you on the toilet.
Why?
Because I didn't know how it was going to go. And
you didn't tell me I was on the toilet?
Yeah, I told you when you was on the toilet. You remember that?
I was in the bathroom watching my hair.
You on the toilet?
I just got up.
So what I remember is that I was so afraid because I didn't know how you were going to take it. I didn't know what your response was going to be. So my mind was like, okay, so if this is bad, at least I'll have something fun to say. Like when I, you know, remember this years on down the line that, hey, no matter what happened, I told on the toilet, and that's pretty funny. So I waited for you to go to the bathroom. Also, I just didn't want to look at your face when I said it. I feel like that would have been even more intimidating. So you went into the bathroom, and you closed the door behind you, and your bathroom was in your room. So we were in the, you know, the privacy of your own room. So with the door closed, I knocked on it, and I said, "Hey, can I tell you this?" And I told you, I was like, "Hey, you know, I want to tell you this. I've been wanting to tell you this." And the reason why, because the week before, you and Sierra sat me down like, "You are not talking. Why aren't you talking?" And I was like, "Hey, you know, I don't open up to you guys a lot because of this reason." And then I said it. I was like, "Hey, I'm bi. I've never heard the toilet flush so fast in my life."
Right.
So fast. And then, you know, the water came from, you know, you washing your hands, and you flung that door open, and then you sat down in disbelief. Now, let me tell you, I could have sworn you knew you had, you know, some type of inkling before.
I thought about it when you were great 34. Oh, man.
Like, when I was 6, I asked you for a dollhouse.
Yeah, but it don't matter. People do that. I mean, you're a daddy, you can to a man, you gotta have a house to stay in.
Okay. God bless you. But yeah, that I could have sworn you knew. So it surprised me that you were surprised, and you looked shocked. You looked like somebody knocked the wind out of you. And the first thing you said was, "It's a sin." And I, of course, got up and I said, "Okay." And I went to my room and I cried because I thought that meant that you hated me. And I really thought that for like a good 5 seconds. And then you came right behind me after I, you know, closed my door. And then you saw me crying and you hugged me and you said, "It's okay. It's all right. You know, Eddie Murphy is too." And that's how it went.
I said, "Eddie Murphy is too."
Uh-huh. You said, "Eddie Murphy is too." And it's the funniest thing I think I've ever heard in my life. Also, note, I just want to say, I feel like it's imperative for me to clarify. This was a rumor. This Eddie Murphy being with someone who was possibly transgender in the 80s was a rumor that was out there. It was never substantiated. And it's kind of like one of those zeitgeisty things that is from a particular era that she was referring to. It has no merit. I told her that she needs to clarify, that we need to clarify. And she had a whole fit where she got so scared that Eddie Murphy was going to somehow sue her personally. So I just wanted to make sure that I made that distinction and clarification there, because my mother quite literally almost like lost it thinking Eddie Murphy was going to be mad at her. But I just had to say it. We love you, Eddie.
I thought about it, but then I thought about how many times you wanted to get that little girl awesome and healed, and I thought about, well, I don't know.
Well, I did like girls. I did. Like, I just, I don't know. Here's the thing. I also have very, like, poor luck with girls. Girls didn't never like me back.
You didn't like them. Well, I just like boys back in school like that, but I feel like boys don't like that.
Well, that's okay. So that's another question that I had. So I know the story of you and Daddy. Like, you tell me all the time, like, with you two, you know, you first saw him when you were like in.
When I first saw him, I was going to school.
You were in third grade or first grade?
I was in third grade.
Third grade.
We had our class went together because they had a split class. And then he paid no attention to me. I said to myself, he's cute. And I just liked him. And then I didn't see him no more. I see him sometimes, every once in a while. And then one day I went over to Coleman House and I opened the door and I saw him in the dance and I closed the door right back real fast. Mm-hmm. And I ran back home. And then I said, and I went back over later. I said, "Dylan, who was that? Was that Lil?" I said, "Oh my God." I said, "I like him." I'm going to tell him. I said, "Tell him." And that's how that started. Because I was young. They was in eighth grade. They was in ninth grade. I was in sixth grade. And someone was in 10th grade. And I was in sixth grade. And they said, "He's too old for you." And then they said, "We don't like you." I said, "I don't care." They said, and they made a fool of me one day. Wilbur and Gilbert and twins. And they said, "He don't want you, wouldn't have you, you fat." I said, "I don't like him either, hook nose motherfucker."
Oh, God.
And they told him what I said. And he hadn't said that. I mean, they said, "He didn't say that, we just playing with you." He just kept on. And finally, I won Christmas. I said, "I like him." He came up there. I waited all day long. So the Billy said he was coming up there. He didn't come up there. He came up there and spoke and left. I know I was too young for him. I was 12. He was 15. I'm 16.
Okay, so this happened all between third grade and sixth grade.
Uh-huh.
So when did you actually start dating? When did Dia and Granddaddy, when did your mom and father, like, let you start dating?
They didn't. I didn't know.
Was he your first boyfriend or?
Yeah.
Daddy was your first boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, Lordy.
Seventh grade and... He was in a 10th grade, and they said none of them had your name on his shoe, and people made fun of him in school because they said he go to elementary. I said, I'm not in elementary. I'm in 7th grade.
You're only 3 years apart. That's not that crazy. Mm-hmm.
And then they said I was like him, and he came over. You know, I liked him. He would hug me, kiss me, and then he would go to school, and they said none of them got a girlfriend. He'd be up there walking. He'd come back to the house walking girls home from school, hugged up, kissing. And I look at the window and see him all the time. And that's why I said, I knew he was no good from day one.
So at this time, were y'all official or were y'all just having crushes on each other?
I had a crush on him. He said he was fishing. There he go with me.
Ooh, that's dirty.
He was coming back from the military. He was out on leave. I was 17 and we were fishing. The next morning, he told me, called the old man and said, look, got married. And I cried and I got over it. And then when he came back, I was 18. And he came back from leave or something. He said, he wanted to see you. He kept coming on my door, and I looked at the window, and I told Mama, no, I'm not here. Mama saw me at Kroger's, her and daddy, and found out we had moved. We found out we had moved again. That's how he started coming. I was 18, getting ready to turn 19. Then December for my Christmas, he gave me an engagement ring, and then he gave me that ring and asked me to marry him. And I said, well, okay. We broke up like 5 or 6 times more than that during that time. And the next year, right before my birthday, he gave me a leather jacket and some leather boots. I was getting ready to turn 19. He gave me a leather jacket and boots, and we got back together.
So from the time that you were, like, essentially 13 to the time y'all got married, Daddy was, like, the only person you were really, like, romantic with, like, had, like, as an official. I didn't know that.
I didn't go with anybody. Everybody talked about me. Mom and Daddy told me, you got to find somebody. So from the time I was 12, I'm 13, I was 12, really. I didn't go with anybody. I finished high school, went to school, didn't go with anybody. I liked this one boy named Marcus, and I hate him because he ended up dating me. And I was in 12th grade when I liked him. But I didn't go with anybody until Linda came back till I was 19. The whole years, I only had one boyfriend, one crush, and that was Linda. That's why I'm so wild now. And then we kept breaking up and got back together. Then he had a nervous breakdown to put him out of the military, so he came back and I took him back, even though he was still legally married to Barbara. He was waiting on his divorce. He burned all Barbara's pictures and stuff. I was waiting on his divorce to come legal. We got back together. He had a big afro. I ended up telling him to get Jerry Carroll in his state. And we got back together. We kept breaking up because he kept fooling around on me, going with other girls. We break up and go with other girls.
So y'all dated this entire time, and then he up and marries this other woman.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes away to the military.
Uh-huh.
Gets divorced, or is waiting on his divorce, then comes back to you.
Uh-huh.
And then that's where we're at, and then somehow you guys get married.
Finally, he asked me to marry him. It took him 7 years to do.
That is insane.
And I waited on him. Finally, we got married when I was 24. That's because I had got pregnant with Sierra, and I had Sierra, and he left, and then another one bought a house. Then she got mad. They got into it. They broke up. Then he came back over my house, and we got back together.
So this happened before I was born?
Yeah.
He bought another house with another woman before I was born?
Uh-huh.
While y'all was married? My God.
It was right after I married him. He got that house with Dodie right after I married him. Uh-huh. He left me and we got a house with Dodie.
I remember that story. You told me because you said he moved everything out. Because you and Sierra would... Yeah, you told me that story.
It was right before I married him, I think. He got that house with Dodie, yeah.
I remember you telling me that he... I remember you told me that he moved everything out the house right after you guys got married. But I didn't know it was because he bought another house with another woman.
No, he had already had that house. We were in state. He had already bought it before I married him.
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh. And then, after I married him, I didn't marry him for 2 weeks. He left me. I went to work and came back and emptied the whole house. Mama was bringing me home. I opened the door. I said, I hear an echo. Sierra was talking. And opened the door, everything was gone. We left one mattress, one water bed. It was my water bed. And he took everything, all the gifts that I had people give us for marriage. He took every piece of furniture in the house, every TV, everything. And when I called him on the phone, I said, you have emptied the whole house. I said, what? You can't do that. I'm married to you. Not no more, motherfucker. That's what he said. And he hung up in my face. And I said, I called him back. I said, did you break the lease? Yes, you were told, you better get out of there. And so I called the leasing apartment man. He said, Mr. McKinney, he broke the lease and paid the difference. You have to get out of there because the lease was broken. I said, okay. Miss Sierra stayed with Mama, and I told Sierra, I'm working every day, and I'm saving my money. I said, it's going to take me about a month or two, and I'm going to get us a place. It took me 2 months, and I got me and Sierra a place. And then he started coming back around again. And he kept hanging out of my house, wanting to see Sierra playing, like, and would stay in my driveway. And sometimes I would let me in. And when I did put down, he would still stay there overnight. Just stand in his car in my driveway. Somebody ended up taking it back because his daddy died. I felt sorry for him. I took him back. And I had moved to another apartment. And he moved right across the street from Shonis. And he moved in there with me. And then we brought the house on Preston. And he still was cheating on me, messing around. People calling my house. Then after that, we moved to the house on Preston. And I got pregnant with you. I got pregnant with this baby I lost. Mm-hmm. And I called the police on him while I was pregnant. Because he was cheating on me, and I found out he would never come home. And he was trying, I told him, me and Sierra are leaving. And he was going to try to manhandle me. I said, get your hands off me. You know I'm pregnant. And he threw me against the wall. He beat me against the wall. And I called the police on him because I was pushing back. And he knew I was pregnant. First of all, I lost the baby. It was a lot of strength. And I didn't end up leaving the night. The police told me to press charges on him, but I didn't. And he got mad. And then I ended up losing my baby, still stayed there, and then 2 months later, I got pregnant again with you. And it's just history, still doing the same thing until the day I left it.
Would you say, like, with all of that, because that's a lot, and I know most of it, but I also know the other relationships that you've had after, would you still say, like, daddy is, like, the biggest heartbreak that you've had?
Yeah.
But here's the thing, here's what I genuinely mean this from the bottom of my heart. What I admire about you is that growing up, because you guys divorced when I was 6, mm-hmm. and it wasn't finalized till I was 8, I think. But like,
yeah.
But I only knew you guys as like not really being together, and having the context of why that was, and then growing up and seeing you still being open to love again, like you never let it hold you down. Like, not for too long, at least. Like, you just didn't let it break you. You didn't let it break you. And I admire that about you. And you went and you found new love. And you kept, you know, dating and trying to see what was right for you.
Yeah.
I don't know how you did it, but I commend you on it.
Mm-hmm, thank you. And I'm still doing it. And got hurt again after that fact. I'm different means, but...
So how do you do that? But like, so like, because here's the thing that I've always said is that you have way more game than I do. I don't know. I don't know how you keep, you know, just you pull people left and right, no matter like what. Like, obviously, because, you know, you're my mother and, you know, you're beautiful. It runs in the family. Hello. But like, I have no game, and like, and I haven't been through half of what you have. So like, how do you maneuver dating? Like, how are you managing to like continuing to get into relationships? And like, because honestly, I would just be exhausted. I'm exhausted from just what I've been through, and it's not that much, but you've been through a lot.
No, if I give up, then there's no hope. I can't give up. I know somebody better out there for me. There's somebody for everybody. I just haven't found them. So I know if I keep going, maybe I'll find love. If not, you didn't say it's not like I'm trying, because I'm trying. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like just say forget it. And then I'm like, I look too good to forget it.
What is your dating advice for getting back out there after a heartbreak?
Take time for yourself, love yourself, and start all over and do it again.
Yes. That's nice. I hear that a lot. You've told me that in private. I want to know, how do you pull men? I want to know that. Like, how do you, like, because I'm socially awkward. It does not work for me trying to date. I don't think I know how to date. How do you do it?
It alter ego. You pull it out. Get this business going. You have to pull that alter ego out. Is I'm gonna dress up and get myself looking good.
Mama, you have an alter ego.
Yes, you don't think about all the stuff you've been through. This is your alter ego. Yes, I do. That's what? The thing. That's why I go by the name.
What's she called?
Eva. go back to my old time self. It's my alter ego. Brenda been through too much. Elaine is new, fresh.
So that's why you go by your middle name, Elaine.
Mm-hmm. Elaine. I can't forget what Brenda's been through. Elaine is fresh. She's new.
Aw, that's so, aw. That makes me,
Yeah.
That makes me emotional. Okay.
And so I let Elaine do all the fixing, getting ready, get the motivation, and that's it.
What are some of your, like, deal breakers when it comes to dating? Like, is there something that, like, a guy can do, and as soon as you see it, you're like, nah, that's not the one for me? As soon as he does it, do you have, like, any, like, red flags like that?
If he stinks.
Mama. Okay, yeah. You're fair. Very
like
fair.
Clingy.
If he's clingy?
No, clean. I like clean.
If he's...
I don't like dirty men.
Gotcha, gotcha. What else? What else is like... That's what they call it nowadays, that if a guy does something that you don't like and it, like, turns you off completely, they call it an ick. Do you have any icks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like you said at first, you hit the nail on the head. I don't like clingy men either.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that, because you're not a clingy person yourself.
No.
Like,
I like my space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you like attention, but you also don't want to be crowded.
That's right. Give me my space. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, how would you describe your love life now?
I don't really have a love life now, but I feel like I'm about to get one.
I know that's right.
I feel energized. I'm looking. I'm searching. But I'm taking my time. This is part two, second half, so I'm trying.
Mm-hmm. I feel it coming. I have one question down because I thought it was funny. Have you heard of, excuse my language, have you heard of Fuck, Marry, Kill?
No.
Okay. It's a, you've never heard of it?
No.
It's a game. People give you three names of somebody, of people, and you decide which one you would want to, you know, do some things with, and one you would marry and one you would have to get rid of.
Wow, who are the people?
Okay, so I have three for you, and I want to know who you would... We don't have to call it that, because it's a little graphic, and you're my mother. So, like, kiss, marry, get rid of. I don't know. Okay, so the three names I have for you are LL Cool J, Denzel, and Idris Elba. And I know you have feelings for, a lot of feelings about these people.
Okay. You said kiss, get rid of, I marry?
Yeah. Is it hard?
Yeah. Hold on. Okay. See,
LL Cool J.
Okay. I want to.
You said get rid of Denzel?
Yeah. If I have to pick one to get rid of.
I think you're the first woman to ever say that sentence.
Kiss Idris. I'm a married LL.
Aw. Isn't that adorable?
Mm-hmm. Let me see LL.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I have any more questions. Do you have any questions for me? Because here's the thing. I really want to, with this interview and with hopefully more interviews that I do, I want to foster and facilitate more conversations about queer dating in that space. And we talked about this before where, like, you said, you know, you think I'm private. I'm not. I'm an open book if you ask me questions. But, you know, I feel like I don't get asked questions in the family about my personal life, and you say you don't know what to ask me. So here's your chance, Mommy. Do you have any questions for me?
Who was the first person you fell in love with?
Ooh, that's a good question. Okay, so you know I was with Corey when I was, like, a teenager. But I don't... See, I think of relationships like that, and I'm not sure if that was love, because I feel like I got played in that relationship.
Was that puppy love?
I guess, because I feel like when you get played, it's almost like, was that actually love? Because if I was in it, but you weren't, is that like, is love, does love have to be mutual?
Love's love. I mean, just because they don't feel the same way, your feelings matter. You were in love.
Well, if that's the case, then it would be Corey, I guess.
Okay.
I guess it would be Corey.
That's what I thought.
Sadly, and I don't want it to be. I don't want it to be.
But, I was just going to say somebody else.
Ewing was the first time that I...
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Ewing was the first time I fell in love with somebody and I felt like they loved me back. And that took years.
Yeah.
And that took years. Because, again, I told you about that. I was essentially chasing him and, you know, had a crush on him, and I was getting what the kids call breadcrumbed, which was he would, you know, flirt with me a little here. He would say he would like me, then he would change his mind. It was just like this big thing back and forth to where he was never consistent. And then when we were together officially, then I felt like, okay, well, he's in it just as much as I am, I guess. Yeah. I guess. I don't know.
I think he was.
And then I think this last time I was in love, as fast as it was, I was, I know yeah. I was. Yeah. Otherwise, that's I wouldn't, real, huh?
That was real love.
Again.
I think Corey probably was puppy love. You know, you just starting out.
But yeah, this last time, I don't know what it was, but it was love on my end, at least.
Yeah.
You have any other questions?
I do, but not right off the top of my head. Give me this opportunity again.
We can go right now. Do you know when I first started dating?
When you first started dating?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you're 16?
Nope.
When?
Well, of course, I had, like, my little girlfriend when I was in third grade, but that doesn't count. Shout out to her, though. But so stupid. But the first person I dated was, it was some guy who was online on this, like, teen dating website. His name was Brandon, and I was 13.
Well, I never knew it.
Mm-hmm. That was when we were, you know, out and about and, you know, going from place to place, and we were trying to figure out, you know, where we were going to go, and Brandon, mm-hmm. you know, I was talking to this guy named Brandon, and he was, I want to say, 18 at the time.
Oh, whip your butt.
And he was Latino. He had, like, this slicked down hair, a nose ring. He was, you know, this little feminine guy that I was crazy about. And we made it official over the phone. But here's the thing. He lived in New York. So it wasn't anything crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Yeah,
it was an online relationship. And then I told you about that guy named T that you almost took from me.
I did not take... Why don't you say that all the time?
You did. You almost took one of my... you almost took my man.
No. I think he tried to talk to me. I was talking to him on the phone.
Yeah, it was... It was a big mistake. It was just a big mistake. Because I was, at that time... 14 or 15, and he didn't know that, but I was about that age, and he was like in his 30s.
Yeah, you knew better.
I did. Anyway.
Yeah, you knew better.
We talked online, some kind of app, I don't know. It was one of the apps. Maybe it was Grindr or something, I don't know. And then, no, it wasn't. It was Black Gay Chat. That's what it was. It was a website. And we had exchanged numbers. And your phone had broken, and I think you had that black razor at that time, and it was broken. I had my, like, white and green Sidekick, and you said, while your phone was broken, like, hey, I'm gonna use your phone, because, you know, you paid a bill, of course, you know? Mm-hmm. So you used my phone, and you were talking to the guys that you had met online, like, I guess you had, you know, met somebody and exchanged numbers, and you're like, hey, like, you know, text me on this number while my phone gets, you know, fixed. So he was texting me thinking it was me, and you were texting him back using my phone thinking it was one of the people that you gave the number to. And I feel like you guys were like 2 seconds away from like, hey, let me see you. Because he wanted to see me, and I kept on telling him no.
I know.
So, yeah.
That's crazy.
And then there was another guy. Oh, I sound like a whore. But I was just talking to them. There's another guy online that I, when I was 16... And his name was Tony. Tony was in his 20s.
Why were you going over me?
Well, Mama, see, when you're in the closet, you don't know who, like, okay, it's not like I could have had crushes on guys my own age, because for the most part, in high school or in middle school or whatever, everybody is, even if they are gay, they're going to be in the closet, so no one knows.
It's supposed to have been a teen chat. Why were they on there?
So, okay, that website for teens was not the only website that I was on.
Oh,
yeah, and the other websites, it was just like, hey, you got to be 18 and older, and you know, that's easy. You can click the button. Now I'm 18. Yay! So that's what I did, even though I wasn't 18. And the reason why I went to those websites is because the teen dating website wasn't focused on queer people. It was focused for, you know, everybody. You could be on there if you were gay or bi or whatever, but it was for everybody. So it made it a little hard to find people who were like you. But for the other websites that were older, you know, those were specifically for gay people or queer people. And that's where I was like, okay, well, I can't, I'm in the closet and I'm scared. Cause if, listen, if you say, you know, hey, I think you're cute to the wrong person, you could get beat up, you know, that's especially, you know, in the time that I grew up in. So online, if I'm going to a website where I know that it's safe to say that kind of thing, it's safe to flirt, it's safe to have those crushes, then I don't have to worry about that. And I can actually enjoy having that kind of dynamic, because I didn't get that chance in school. You did, because you had crushes on straight boys. You're straight. You had crushes on boys. That's normal.
I didn't know that.
You had a crush on daddy.
Yeah.
So you got that experience. I didn't really, but I was able to have it online, and those websites where they were older was a safe space to do it, because I knew everybody on there was just, you know, like me. They were just older.
Yeah, they knew how old you were. They should have been ashamed of themselves.
Tony knew how old I was. Tony was in his 20s. I met Tony once at a McDonald's parking lot while I was working at Kmart. And then afterwards, we kept talking, and I learned through, you know, a proper Google search, Tony's name is not Tony.
What was his name?
Marlon.
Wow.
And Marlon was not 22 like Tony was. Marlon was 30.
No, he was a pedophile.
And apparently, I went to a club later on, like years, you know, down the line when I was in college, and I was telling the story about like how this weird guy, because I looked him up and his, you know, police records came up, and that's how I got his information. And I was telling people about this guy that I met. They were like, oh yeah, he always goes after the young ones. That's how he likes them.
He need to be in jail.
So that's how my dating journey went.
You never know who you're talking to online. You have to be careful. Mm. People hide behind the computer.
So all of that happened before Corey.
I was talking to some man online the other day. He told me he just got out of prison. You never know who you're talking to online.
Well, you know, there's this woman on TikTok. She found her husband online, and he was in prison.
I know. I'm talking to him and say, well, I got to tell you, one of them is still in prison. I'm in prison. That's what I said. You never know who you're talking to online because they hide behind there. You know, you can't see them.
No, this and woman knew.
Ask my number. I said no, because you know, run up my phone bills. I think he calls every time he calls for it.
Well, what was he in for? Do you know?
He said he was in for drugs.
That's not too bad.
Now he said he was innocent, but everybody said he innocent.
Yeah, but drugs are like a nonviolent offense.
Yeah, I know.
And the woman that I was telling you about on TikTok, she went on a website where you can write inmates, and that's how she found her husband. Once he got out. Bad. They got married.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's not all bad.
No, it's not all bad, but I don't think I want to. Because, and I'm not saying everybody, but once they've been in there, they attempted to go back.
It is hard for them to actually rehabilitate them and to, you know, keep them out. Because it's a system. They want them back in. That's the thing.
Yeah. And if I had a man that came out of prison, but if he went in for robbery or stealing, I would never leave my things around me. I wouldn't trust him. I don't know about that. But it's okay if I talk to him if it's just for drugs. But if we ain't there for killing, ain't no way I'm talking to him.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a different story. That's a very different scenario.
But drugs is okay. But if they went in there for, you know, murder, that's a no deal.
Any more questions?
I want that Tony. I'm going to find that Tony. Tony need to go to jail. They did Marlon, whatever his name was. Marlon need to go to jail. What's the other one name that was 40, 30-something?
His name was Terrence.
That's who need to go to jail.
I remember their names clear as day, too. All this happened before Corey.
Mm-hmm.
It was Brandon, Terrence, and Marlon, a.k.a. Tony.
He probably 50-something now online trying
he
to get a little
50-something.
Uh-huh.
No, he's in his 40s. He's in his 40s, I think. Any more questions, or do you know enough now?
I know enough.
You don't have any more questions?
No.
I've had a very fun life so far.
Well, I'm glad you had a fun life, but you have to be careful. I mean, you could have went left.
Yeah, and by fun, I mean depressing. but yeah. And this last one was really bad. This last person that I was with. Not that he was bad, but the heartbreak was really bad. I don't know. Do you have any questions about that?
Yeah. Are you over it?
Oh, that's a good question. May I ask a question to your question? How do you know if you're over somebody? How do you know if you're truly over somebody?
When you think about moving on, finding somebody else.
I guess. Yeah.
All day long, you know, mm-hmm. you think about it, but not like you used to. You come to your mind, but not as much.
Mm-hmm.
And you're ready to move on, find somebody else. You know, you're over it.
Yeah, I guess I am. I guess I am then. I don't know if I'm looking for anybody else necessarily. I'm not looking at all, I don't think. I don't think so.
I always kept looking, but my eyes are always open.
But yeah, I'm not looking. I feel like that one, this last one drained me. We talked about, and again, it was so fast. I should have known better. It was so fast. It's not like we talked about doing anything like in terms of long-term plans. But we did have it set up to where I was supposed to meet his family. You know, we did have that planned at least. And then with us talking about things like far away in the future, he, you know, told me about, you know, what he wanted for his wedding, you know, what he wanted in terms of like an engagement ring, you know, what he wanted to wear. You know, I told you about how he was trying to figure out what our names would be like together and putting that together. And He said a lot of things and was giving me a lot of false hope.
Yeah, game.
Yeah, and I don't. Mm-hmm. I mean what I say, and I guess. Yeah, and I'm just different in that way of where like I'm not saying stuff just to say stuff, and I guess other people do say things just to say things.
Uh-huh. Just make yourself look good. Playing the game. They all play them roles.
I thought those things meant something or mattered. But like you said, I think he just was saying things to say things.
Mm-hmm. It's always fun to meet new people.
Is it fun?
Yes, and that's what I look forward to. Getting to know somebody new, you know, starting over.
I guess. I mean, I think that's why I wanted to interview you and try something new with this, because I just wanted to talk about it. I just wanted to talk and... I don't know, I think I heal by talking, even though you told me at one point in time I talked too much. I think sometimes it can be very healing, and I think that's why it's so important to me.
Yeah, always talk about something. Anything helps you to heal. When you hold it in, you gotta let it out, let it go.
Like a fart.
Mm-hmm. You have to free yourself.
In the words of Fantasia.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, I don't have any more questions, and if you have any for me, that's pretty much it. But I'm glad I got to talk to you.
Me too, I love you.
I love you too. And I'm just going to cut on the recording.